Okay, now today, our discussion concerns unintentional sin. And the first question we need to ask as we discuss unintentional sin is, what is unintentional sin? Now, again, for the record, we all know what sin is, right? Right? There was not like an overwhelming response to that question, congregation. Okay? Let me just make sure. Sin is breaking the moral law of God. It is deciding to do what we want to do or think or say without regard to what God in His Word tells us is right to think, do, or say. We all know that we have deliberately and with intention broken the law of God, and that therefore we are all sinners. Anybody got any questions about that? Good. We know from the scripture itself that the wages we earn as a result of our sin is death. So if you have ever broken God's moral law in just one matter, be it a big one or a little one, it does not matter. If you have broken the law of God in any matter, you are a sinner. And as a result of that, what you earn by right is death. Clear? Now, see, we live in a culture that doesn't like that. They want to believe that what we all have is a right to eternal life. But we don't. What we have a right to is death. And what we receive as a gift is eternal life that comes to us by the grace of Almighty God. It's not our right, it's God's gift. Your right is to die. The simple fact is that if you have ever chosen to sin, that is to break God's moral law, and you have, you are condemned by that action to death. It's why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is so important. Because through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our guilt, our sin, is removed from us by the grace of God. And through Him, we are given eternal life. And that's what Leviticus is all about. It is a picture of how God removes sin. In the Old Testament, He did it through the offering of animals. But those animals are pictures. They are types. They show us Jesus Christ, who is the great sin offering. But the scripture makes it clear to us in the passage that was read to you today that our situation is even worse than we may think. Now, you're sitting there saying, how can it be worse? If indeed we sin and therefore earn death, how can it get worse? Well, it gets worse because sometimes we sin deliberately. That is, we get our minds wrapped around what we want and we go do it regardless of what God thinks. But then there are times, the Bible says, when we sin unintentionally, without forethought, having given it no real premeditation, out of ignorance, perhaps, of what God's law says, even without meaning to or being aware of it, that's unintentional sin. When you break God's law, without intending it to break it, or necessarily even knowing that you did. And what the passage that was read to you today tells us, that even if you sin unintentionally, you are guilty before God. Now, I have heard this all my life. Every time I did something wrong, and I would say to my dear father, I didn't know it was wrong, Daddy. You know what he said, because your parents said it to you too. he would say there in his stern fashion, ignorance is no excuse. See, if you run through the stop sign and the policeman stops you and you say, oh, I didn't see it, you get a ticket anyway. Okay? If you're running down the road 95 miles an hour through a 35-mile zone, and the policeman pulls you over, and he says, you were speeding, and you say, oh, I didn't know the speed limit. Guess what you get? Now, I understand that some of you had this very experience in the parking lot last Sunday. I heard that there were a whole bunch of you who had registrations that were lapsed. And the cop caught you. And you said, oh, I didn't know it was out of date. And he was very nice, I hear. Because he said, fix it or you get a fine. You get the point? My dad was right. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. And if you break the law, even out of ignorance, you are still guilty. Isn't that right, Mr. Policeman? Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. I knew he'd know that. If you break the law of God, even without knowing that you broke the law, according to the passage of Scripture that was read to you today and other places, by the way, you are still guilty. That's lesson number one for today. Ignorance of God's law is no excuse. You know, part of me wants to say to you, he gave it to you. He took a lot of effort to write it down and put it in a book that we call the Bible. And if you don't read the Bible and understand what God's law is, you can't very well say it was his fault you didn't know, can you? He gave it to you. All right? So if you have broken the law of God, even unintentionally, you are guilty. Ask Judge Judy, she'll tell you. All I want you to understand is if you think in the great day of judgment, you're going to stand before God's judgment seat and say, I didn't know. Think again. Forget the approach. It won't work. The defense will not stand up in court, even if it was unintentional. You did it. And you are guilty. Now, lesson number two for today is this. As soon as you know that you have broken God's law unintentionally, you must repent of it before God. That's what the fourth chapter of the book of Leviticus is all about. If you have sinned against God unintentionally, you must repent of your sin before God as soon as you become aware of it. Now, I want to emphasize the words before God. See, there is nothing hidden from him. Okay, now, this is an unintentional thing. It is potentially possible that even the person closest to you does not know that you did it. But all of a sudden, you know. And you might think, being human, you might think, got away with it. Nobody else knows. Don't have to do anything with it because they weren't watching. But now hear me. Hear me. The one who matters knows. And in the text that was read to you today, it is made very clear to the Hebrews that they are required to repent of the sin as soon as it becomes known to them before God, because God knows. As soon as they became aware of their unintentional sin, they were to make a sacrifice. They were to offer an animal to God, placing their sin on the animal and killing the animal to demonstrate their guilt before God and what they deserved. For us, it's easier. We simply need to bring the transgression about which we have learned to Jesus. For Jesus is our sacrifice. Understand? Now, it's of great importance to understand the peculiar requirements of confession, the confession of unintentional sin, as it is recorded in the book of Leviticus. There are some peculiar things in chapter 4. For instance, thing number one, it is assumed that everyone in the community will commit unintentional sin. Everyone. From the anointed priest, and for the record, the only priest in Israel's history who was anointed was the high priest. All of the others served under him, but no one was anointed but him. So when it refers to the anointed priest, it means the high priest himself. From the high priest to the common man, from the one who was chosen to walk closest to God and intercede for the people, to the ordinary, everyday person, it was assumed that everyone would from time to time sin without meaning to and without forethought. And then number two, the more public the person, the more costly the sin. The more costly the public confession. So for instance, if it was the high priest of Israel who sinned this way, he was to bring a bull, the most expensive offering to make. And his offering was to be far more public than was the repentance of a common man. For he had himself to lead the bull through the streets of the community to the gate of the tent and slay it himself. And then he had to take, this is so he couldn't be confused with the other offerings, he had to take the blood of the bull himself in a bowl into the holy place where only he could go. And drop 7 drops of blood on the floor of the holy place directly before the throne of God. You know why? To impress him with what he had done. And to let everybody who was watching outside know that this was not his ordinary sin offering. This was because he had become aware of unintentional sin. Now, if a community leader, like a governor or a president or one of those, became aware of unintentional sin, he also had to make the offering of a ram, and he had to do, or of a bull, and he had to do it publicly before everybody else. Ordinary members of the community just did lambs and goats. And the reason that this happened was to set a public example. The greater your influence, the greater example you were supposed to be to people. And if somebody watched you do something wrong, even unintentionally, there was this great possibility of hurting them and encouraging them to do what was wrong themselves. So you had to make a more costly repentance if your position was more public in the community. And then lesson number three, the whole nation could sin unintentionally. Think of it. The whole community could become guilty of unintentional sin as a whole. Want some examples? Slavery. A national sin of which the whole nation needs to repent. You want another one? Legalized abortion. It is a sin. And any government which legalizes the killing of infants is an offensive offense to God, and no people who are holy can stand there and say, we didn't know. It's there. And when the nation or the community or the group becomes aware of its sin, God says that they as a whole, the leaders of the community acting as representatives of the community, need to offer a ram, an expensive offering before him. And the whole people of God need to repent of the sin. You figure it out. As we sit here today, let's just be a little bit personal. Have you ever committed an unintentional sin? Maybe you know. But maybe you don't. Maybe the sin you've committed has not yet been revealed to you. Have I ever committed an unintentional sin? More than likely. After all, I have the spiritual gift of offending people. So what should we do? No. You don't need to go buy a bull. You don't need to get a goat. They are things of the past. The great sacrifice which atones for every sin has been made. And that great sacrifice which atones for every sin is Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. And what we need to do is place our hands on his head. We need to identify with him as the ancient Hebrews were encouraged to identify with a sacrifice, to accept what Jesus did on our behalf, to remove our sins from us as far as east is from west, the ones we did meaning it, and the ones we don't even know we've done yet. We need to bring our transgressions to Jesus. We need to bring it all to Jesus. The problem is, we may not even know. So part of what we need to do today is to ask God to show us. If indeed what we are doing is in some way offensive to him and we aren't aware of it, we need to be praying that his Holy Spirit will move on us and show us in what way we are offensive to the Father. And when he shows it to us, you know what we need to do? And if we're sitting here thinking we're getting away with it because nobody's noticed yet, but we know. Better bring it to Jesus. And you know what? There is no one present here who is a citizen of this nation who can say that we as a people are not guilty of sin. Perhaps it's unintentional because we really don't know it's wrong. But ignorance won't work. As a people, we are guilty before the Lord. And because it's so, we better bring it to Jesus. So let's stand up. And as they begin to play the music, let's think about it. What is it I need to bring to Jesus? What is it you need to bring to Jesus? What is it that we as a people need to bring to Jesus? Let's be praying that God's going to show us. And if we know, let's right now just bring it to Jesus.